The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this 19th day of June 2018. My guest has been and will be for the next half hour, Harley Schlanger. If you want to get his updates and his news stories emailed right to your box, this is something you have control over, folks. Just email him and say, hey, I want your updates. And you can do that at harleysch@gmail.com. And I think everybody in America knows how to spell Harley because of Harley Davidson. It is not a name that's not well known. At any rate, Dave in Missouri, thank you for holding, Dave. Go ahead.
Well, hello, John. Hello, Harley. I hope you guys are having a blessed evening. Harley, you know, you said something that really kind of turned me on, man. I mean, the whole idea of China now investing in Africa, so maybe the hordes have a home to stay home to. You know, what's it, only been 10,000 years and they still don't have one. But, you know, if the Chinese want to spend their money like that, it almost makes me feel just a little bit better about the mindless Walmart shopping drones who have given China our resources. But, Harley, this is what I want to say, brother. So, you know, why don't we just zero out all this debt, man? I mean, we create our own reality on a day-by-day basis. We're not, nobody, you know, branded us that we are the property of these Rothschild bankster thieves. Why don't we just zero the whole thing out and hang it around the necks of all those thieves? And I've got to hang up, guys. But Harley, why not the big picture, man? Just take the whole thing down to zero. All debt gone. These thieves, you know, they made it. They wear it. Let's own them. But I got to get off the phone, guys. I love you so much. Please, folks, support RBN.
Thank you, Dave.
I couldn't agree more. The idea of a jubilee year is something which is long overdue. I mean, the basic point is that what we would, to do that, you'd have to have as a backup plan, a plan to get the economy going again, because you would end up zeroing out a lot of people's pensions and 401ks and things like that. And we'd have to protect that. We'd have to figure that out. But as far as the trillions in derivatives and the worthless pieces of paper that are, or they're not even paper, the computer notions on banks' books, that should be wiped out. It's ill-gotten gains. There's a reason that usury is a sin, and you know, it's in a sense to continue this fraud is putting us on a path of destroying humanity and. It really has to be seen, I think, as a satanic process, an anti-human process that is run by these banking operations. And so I would agree completely.
Yeah,
let's wipe it all out.
I would as well. And yes, you're right. Will there be some rough spots in this? Well, yeah, there would be. And would it go on for longer than what some people might like? Yeah, maybe. But we didn't get into this problem overnight. We've had an over 100-year relationship with a private organization we know as the Federal Reserve. But it must go, and go it must. Now, as I said, Harley, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be kind of janky. There'll be some problems along the way. But as I've suggested before, I believe this is what got Kennedy killed. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily crossing the CIA or, you know, wanting to pull the advisors out of Vietnam. It had to do with the money. And he made a strong move against the Federal Reserve Bank in this country by suggesting to the Treasury, a strong suggestion, by the way, it actually happened, that we make United States notes. And that was non-interest-bearing exchange stuff that we could use without the interest. And then we saw what happened to Kennedy. But at any rate,
there's a very interesting book called Kennedy Against Wall Street, and I can't remember the author's name right now, but he makes the point that the initial Treasury notes that were created, U.S. notes that were created by Kennedy, was just a down payment. He was planning on going much bigger, because the Federal Reserve at the time was run by a guy named William McChesney Martin, who was part of the same networks that the Bush family came from. And he was someone who was committed to starving the real physical economy of credit in favor of starting what became known as the Eurodollar market. And had Kennedy lived, there probably would not have been a Eurodollar market. There wouldn't have been the threats against the dollar that were made by the British and others in the late 60s that led Nixon to end up breaking the relationship of the dollar with gold. So, you know, this is speculation, but according to this book, Kennedy actually had a plan that would have gone well into his second term for moving outside of the Fed so you could gradually get rid of the Federal Reserve.
And the interested party, or should I say the parties that charged the interest, they saw what was coming. And to me, it's not a great mystery why Kennedy's head was splattered all over Dealey Plaza on November 22nd.
No, it was an existential threat to them. It was an absolutely existential threat. And that's also why Russiagate is happening, because the possibility that Trump might do something like that caused them to say, we can't let him, if he's going to stay in office, he has to have a rope around his neck and a gun at his head.
So we have China and Russia and the United States moving away from the funny money people. Yeah, I think this is putting the cracks in the foundation of the funny money people, and they don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Lenny in California. Thanks for holding, Lenny. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. First, I want to make a statement to Dave. I don't know if he's aware of this, but the people in Libya, North Africa, were living better than him.
Yeah.
Before the United States and the rest of the NATO's scum went and bombed them back into the Stone Ages.
Yeah.
Now, I would humbly submit that what Gaddafi was doing should be used as a model for the rest of the African continent. And I am happy to see that China and Russia are doing their best to help these people develop themselves and not rip them off. Now, the question I have for you, Mr. Slinger, is that spoken or unspoken or mumbled on the breath, a lot of Americans are just had it with their so-called relation with the so-called state of Israel. If you could change one thing, if you could reset it, what would it be like?
Interesting question.
That's a pretty good question. What I would say is that we should tell Israel that they're not going to get money, weapons, or backup from the United States as long as they act like the rogue nation that they are. And the problem is that Israel has been given the right to do that in the way it was set up. And it's part of the same operation as the Saudis. It's not a big secret to me why Israel and Saudi Arabia have become allies. And let me just say, take it one step further. The other thing I would say is that the influence of Israel and its money on the U.S. Congress should be stopped. There's a huge influence. The AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, the Anti-Defamation League, have an enormous influence in the U.S. Congress. People like Sheldon Adelson, who has a big influence on Trump. This has to be shut down.
Because the question, you know, empire building and all this, if the United States is really trying to empire build, as a lot of people have suggested, then you get something out of this. Rome didn't conquer half of the planet and take over the resources and the people of the respective countries and got nothing out of it. If it wasn't there to help enrich Rome, well, they just didn't do it. They bypassed it. They went for the low-hanging fruit, if you will. Britain, the same thing. They did it by way of their shipping. They did it by the East India Company. They did it by many different avenues. Yeah. And you look at the United States, and all they have to show is we're involved in a lot of things. We have an over-burgeoning military budget that they just asked for $76 billion, and guess what? All the Democrats voted for it. That should give you a clue. You know, we go after people like John McCain or McConnell or the ilk, but the Democrats are always there to vote for more money for more killing of people, and that's because they care so much for people. You know,
John, if I could also just say something about the first point the caller made, he's absolutely right. What Gaddafi was doing was using the oil money to build a huge man-made lake, because water is one of the big problems there. He was using the oil money to give people free college education. And he was also working with other countries to consider the possibility of diversifying out of the dollar. And that was really
and having their own gold-backed currency, I hear.
Yeah. And I think that was something similar to what Saddam Hussein was talking about.
Yeah.
So I think that had a lot to do with the decision that was made. And again, it was the British. It was Cameron and Hillary and Obama and Sarkozy, the French president, who tried to extort money out of Gaddafi. And when he didn't get what he wanted, he joined in on this attack on Libya. But the attack on Libya wasn't just against Gaddafi. It was then to destroy Libya and turn it into a recruitment center for ISIS and a transshipment point for NATO weapons to get to the terrorists in Syria.
Gaddafi didn't miss what happened to Saddam Hussein in Iraq. He had a keen vantage point. And he realized very quickly that the same powers that took him down were out to take him down as well. Let's keep moving here. We're running out of time. Fred in Michigan, you're up with Harley Schlanger. What's your question?
Good evening. Harley, Muammar Gaddafi made a speech at the UN in September 2009. I just want you to corroborate. Didn't he... call for a new investigation of JFK's murder and also the 9/11 event, which we now know was a joint operation of MI6, Mossad, and CIA. And Harley, I recently saw Anton Chaykin's presentation called JFK v. Empire, JFK versus Empire.
Yeah.
And I saw Jeffrey Steinberg lecturing on the murder of JFK relative to Jim Garrison and how Garrison had gotten on to Permandex,
right,
a NATO
right.
front entity headquartered in Rome, Italy. And then they had a satellite op in, I think it was Toronto. And on the day of the murder, Curtis LeMay, the chief of Air Force ops, he was up in Toronto, and they sent a special Air Force jet to bring him back after the murder.
And George W. Bush was in Dallas. George H. W. Bush was in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So they're complicit. You know, Harley, would you agree that the same entities that orchestrated all of that, masterminded, orchestrated, and that did include Clay Shaw, Guy Bannister, some guy by the name of James Angleton, and others I'm sure you're intimately knowledgeable of. They're these same entities or their offspring, or colleague operatives are being financed by the Bank of England. And, the Rothschild Bank of England is behind all of this historically.
Let me just pull a couple of these things together, because you mentioned a couple of my associates, Jeff Steinberg and Tony Chaitkin, who did a lot of this research. Look, the Canadian connection is really important, because that was Louis Mortimer Bloomfield, who was an operative of the British Empire, and a money bags for Permandex. And Permandex was a cover company, the Permanent Industrial Exhibition. That's what Jim Garrison was looking into. And this included the people you mentioned. But the most important part, Angleton was the counterintelligence chief of the CIA. And he's someone who is essentially part of the Dulles network and the network which produced today John Brennan. So it's exactly the same networks. This is what Eisenhower warned Kennedy about. This is what Eisenhower meant when he talked about the military-industrial complex. It wasn't just arms producers. It was the whole burgeoning industry of consultants and others who were part of the intelligence community that was connected to this war machine. And that's who killed Kennedy, and that's who's been running the country pretty much since then.
And of course, Kennedy's move against the bankers, that was clear indication. Eisenhower warning Kennedy about the military-industrial complex, well, they can only function if they have the money in which to do so. And Kennedy was certainly an impediment to that. He wanted to pull out of Vietnam. He wanted to dump our relationship with the Federal Reserve Bank. He wanted to spread the CIA to the four winds. There's a perfect scenario of, here, shoot me now.
Well, you know, that would actually be a good policy for Trump today to do those things.
Fred, thank you for your call. You know, it's hard to stump you, Harley. There's a lot of questions that are asked, and this is why I enjoy having this guy on. I just wish we weren't separated by an ocean here, that we were on more of a workable time scale. But I really do appreciate you spending the wee hours of the morning talking to the audience here on RBN. I really do appreciate it.
John, you realize you are getting a benefit, because by being here, I'm actually now on a day-to-day basis in the middle of what's happening in Europe. And this is very significant. It was very clear to me that Trump understood the importance of blowing up this G7 meeting, because otherwise it was just going to provide a cover for more NATO operations against Russia, sabotaging the war against terrorism in the Middle East, and Trump blew it out of the water.
And, of course, Vladimir Putin responded when asked, you know, do you want to come back into NATO? And he goes, what for?
The
G7, rather. It was the G8. And, he said, what for? By the way, did you happen to see the Stone interviews with Vladimir Putin that was put together over, I think, two and a half years?
Sure.
What did you think of Oliver Stone's digging around in Vladimir Putin's brain?
Well, I thought it was quite illuminating, because the thing that's interesting about Putin is that he's been vilified as a thug, a murderer, a KGB operative, and what he actually represents is the interests of his nation. Mm-hmm. And he understands the history of Russia and the culture of Russia, and that Russia is a Christian nation, Russia is a military power, but it's got a long history. And he represents that in his thinking, and that's why he got over 70% of the vote.
You know, and
the Russian people appreciate him.
And he feels safe enough. I noticed in one of the interviews, I think the last interview in that series was in February of 2017, a couple of months after Donald Trump was voted. And, of course, he took office in January. But here was Vladimir Putin with Oliver Stone, and here's Putin driving around the city of Moscow.
Yeah.
He's not being driven in a bulletproof limousine. He's driving himself with another car, and they were going to go to the residency that I think 60 or 70 miles outside of Moscow. But there's Vladimir Putin driving and interviewing and being interviewed at the same time. And I'm thinking, this guy doesn't seem to be afraid to be out in his own public, does he?
No, and he's actually one of these people who can think of where does Russia have to be in the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. He's taken a situation that's very difficult with these sanctions, with the collapse of oil price, and he's diversified Russia's economy. Russia has had a tremendous expansion in agricultural production because they're building their own agricultural machinery right now. And they have turned around the demographic collapse that occurred at the end of communism and under Yeltsin. Russia's now increasing its birth rate, and that's a sign of optimism. So I think there's a lot that we can gain if there's a Trump-Putin summit, and I'm hoping they'll have one that's at least 1 or 2 days, because I think that it would be a benefit for both of them to get to know each other, although John Brennan, of course, thinks that Putin already knows what Trump does.
But see, we are hearing the shadowy voices of those that want the status quo, that don't want cooperation amongst the major players on this planet, that you and I can see this as being a major benefit to all concerned, but who would be on the losing end of that? The people that are making money off of the fear, the people that want to keep throwing billions and trillions of dollars at the military-industrial complex. There is a short sheet of people that would be on the losing end of this, but a great number of people to be on the winning list. And
one of those who doesn't want it to happen is George Soros. And Soros is going crazy. He went crazy over the North Korea developments, and he's saying, look, Trump cannot be allowed to meet with Putin.
You know, it's funny. I've once heard the statement about grinding Jews up to make your soap to bathe yourself with. That's an apt description of Mr. George Soros. This guy is just incredibly, Harley, I don't even have an adjective to describe this guy.
Well, satanic comes pretty close.
Yeah, it does. It does. It definitely does. Roxanne, you're on with Harley Schlanger. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Three quick questions, and thank you for taking my call. Harley, or if I may call you that, have you heard there are 5 concurrent investigations going on for the Clintons and all their foundations? And then I'll take my answers off the air. I'll do it real quick because I know you've got stuff to do. And then we know Horowitz is a Soros-Clinton fixer, okay? And then Sessions, we know, is SES. He's named in the Plum Book like Mueller. And how do you think they or these SES guys can serve the people on their leashes? And have a great time. Thank you.
Thank you, Roxanne.
Well, they're all corrupt. There's no question about it. And how it works is, you know, it's not that they're all bought. Some of them just are bad people. Mueller, for example, he has a long history. As FBI director, he was responsible for all kinds of criminal actions. And I think I went over this previously, but he was the person who ran the Get LaRouche task force back in the 80s. So the connection here, it's not so much money, it's that they share an outlook, which is an anti-American, anti-constitutional outlook. And in terms of the Clinton Foundation, there are investigations, but I think those are going to be, there's going to have to be a change in the Justice Department before those will bear any fruit.
Harley, absolutely. I mean, Sessions and Horowitz, I mean, wasn't Horowitz the inspector general that handed over this 600-page, pretty much could have been condensed down to 20 or 25 pages?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This is what's really mystifying me. My immediate thought here is Trump has got bigger fish to fry. And as long as Jeff Sessions is not hurting him, I guess he can put up with the inspector general or the one below Sessions that he can deal with this. He knew there wasn't anything to it, so he knew what nothing could be turned up. The red-faced FBI people, even the people... And this is, here's the irony of ironies, and this is what's not being discussed in the press, is the common FBI agent, the special agent, is walking around with eternal shame. They don't think of themselves as being bad guys, but they're looking at what the upper echelon of the FBI is doing, and they're walking around fiddling with the change in their pocket with their head cast down on the ground.
Well, John, I think what has to happen if there's going to be a change is that they have to, this is why we said end the special relationship and declassify the documents between the British and Brennan and Clapper, because the CIA is not going to provide them. But there are documents of these meetings that went on and the planning, Halper, Mifsud, Alexander Downer. These are some of the names of people who were British intelligence operatives, MI6 operatives, who set up Papadopoulos. There's a new one that just came out, this guy who was deployed to try and entrap Roger Stone. You have a whole series of these things. Go at this because it will lead you to Brennan, Clapper, and Obama. And I think even more important than the Clinton Foundation is to get at this network of the Obama operatives who worked with the British, who were the ones who were responsible for Libya, the ones who were responsible for all the deaths in Syria, the ones who moved NATO to the border of Russia. Mm-hmm. These are the people who need to pay the price, because they're the same network that worked with the banksters. It's one grouping with one set of principles. And if we go after them and expose them and defeat them, that will free the president. Now, then we'll see, as you and I both have certain reservations about Trump, then we'll see whether he really is serious about taking on Wall Street and the City of London.
Well, he's certainly going to need some more support out of his own party, which he does not have.
Yeah.
The Democrats, they're trying to shuffle around, trying to find somebody viable to run up against Trump. And I don't think that's going to be possible unless this guy in the next 2 years makes the fatal mistake or mistakes that the other side wishes that would happen. But then we've got people, as I mentioned earlier at the top of the program, they're looking at the Republican Party and go, you know what? You guys don't stand for anything. And you need to be broken down and you need to be reassembled. And I've got a perfect solution for this, Harley. I know it's going to shock a lot of people, maybe even you. It was what the country, the Republic, was founded on, and it was called that Constitution.
Yeah.
You know, here's the rule book, ladies and gentlemen. Let's settle the arguments on both sides of the aisle. Let's bring out the rule book.
Let's dust it off and actually read it.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we only had about a minute, minute and a half left. Any parting shots here, Mr. Schlanger?
Well, I think that this is a moment where people can be optimistic if they're willing to get their nose into the fight. The potential for breaking out of the control that's been over this country for the last 40 years is there. And Trump has indicated that he's tough, he's willing to take on the fight, but he's not always right in what he's doing. And I think this discussion of economic policy, the discussion of collaboration with the great powers to overturn the corrupt powers is important. And my final thing would be to keep an eye on Germany, because if there's a shift in German policy to break with the City of London, it will go a long way towards shifting what's going on in all of Europe and between the U.S. and Russia as well.
I still cannot see how Andrew Merkel, why is she still Chancellor of Germany?
There's no one else. There's no one else that's emerged with an idea. I mean, it's a real vacuum.
Wow. It must be a real vacuum.
Yeah.
Harley Schlanger, as always, you know, people call and they ask questions, or I'll ask you a question. I've yet to stump you. And
keep working on it.
Yeah, we'll keep working on it. All right. Yeah. Well, Harley, I appreciate it. I know you got a busy day tomorrow. How long does it take you to go to sleep after you put down the microphone?
Well, it depends. I kind of get excited in these discussions, so I have to wind down. I may need a glass of wine.
All right. Well, enjoy your wine and get at least a decent period of sleep. I know you got a busy day tomorrow, and I greatly appreciate you coming on. And what's the shortest term intervals that we can have you on?
Maybe a couple weeks.
Okay, sounds good. If we could do this a couple times a month, that would be great.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. And again, folks, you want to get his inside stuff, and before it hits every place else, harleysch@gmail.com. We'll take the bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in three.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
We are back. Folks, I've wanted to do this for weeks now. Have you gotten one of these calls? Have you gotten this message on your phone? Mike, you got the pot up? Okay. This is fascinating. Take a listen to this.
Working hours. And once it get expired after that, you will be taken under custody by the local police, as there are 4 serious allegations pressed on your name at this moment. We would request you to get back to us, so that we can discuss about this case, before taking any legal action against you. The number to reach us is 716-304-9332. I repeat, 716-304-9332. Thank you.
Now, obviously, you get the English translation from a foreign language, and the syntax is just off. Now, I've been getting these calls now for months and months. And I've called it before, so I called it again today. And knowing where these calls are coming from, they're coming from some scam artist in India. because every time that you return the call and you get the person going, IRS, yeah, the IRS does not do things like this, folks. And the cops don't come and arrest you because you've got four something impending against you. So I called it today and I said, look, you know, I want to find out what's going on here because, you know, I'm concerned, knowing full well it's a scam. And the idiot on the other end of the phone says, well, you know, what is your cell phone number? I said, well, you have the cell phone number because that's where you've been leaving the messages. And I said, I'll tell you who I am. My name's John Stattmiller. We have a radio network called Republic Broadcasting Network. I said, I'm just doing this to help you guys out. I said, the Attorney General's office has been contacted in Texas about this. And, you know, this is a scam. And, you know, you're going to go to jail because this is wire fraud. Click. Now, what's fascinating about this is once you play this message, unlike any other message that you will get, that somebody leaves it on your smartphone, you can always play it again. This one, I think they feel that it's evidence that it's automatically erased because once you play it, you can't play it again. The recording disappears on your phone. Of course, if you get multiple calls, and I'm looking at least 10 or 15 here, and that was the call that came in on the first hour that you heard my cell phone ring. It was the Punjabs out of India running a scam. And I guess they think that the American people are stupid. But as I learned from my secretary, one of her relatives got one of these calls, left work in a sheer panic to run home and tell his wife, oh, so I guess it does work on some people. I don't know. But just thought you guys should hear that. Martin in California. Hello, Martin.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to ask Barney a question, but I'll ask it if you had to leave. It's a pretty basic question about the central banks of the world, be it the European Central Bank or even the Chinese Central Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have, it seems to me, the same system going. So you couldn't just eliminate the Fed. You'd have to eliminate all the other central banks in the world. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, it would be a problem for a non-member of their little group to deal with each other, because if we came up with an honest banking system, how would we do business with the illegal? I get what you're saying here, but I think if the United States started making a move in that direction, the other countries around the world, the industrialized nations, know the problem that they're having. They're mostly in debt, paying a lot, gobs of interest to these people, and it's running out. There's no more propping it up. There's not enough taxation out there that can be collected to keep this scam going, because a lot of countries are looking at this and going, why are we paying the interest on the funny money people? Why are we doing this? So I think it's going to be strategic. I think this will happen with talks. I think this is one of the things that concern the powers that be, of getting with China and talking about trade deficits or talking with Russia. Russia's obviously doing the job under Vladimir Putin that the Russians want to see. So I think it has to be strategic, and it can be done pretty much in one fell swoop. That would be the answer to that question, Martin.
Okay, well, Putin has been withdrawing from that system, but it's been a gradual process for him.
Yes, it has been.
And he hasn't done anything dramatic, like just throwing out all the central bankers on their app, you know?
Well, but he's doing it, in my estimation, Martin, he's doing it in the right way. He's taking the available monies and building the infrastructure back up, so when they do walk away from the funny money people, it won't be that big of a deal. The same thing that we should be doing in this country as well, and what Donald Trump is attempting to do.
Yeah, and I know that he's a negotiator. All this is part of negotiating away from these centralized internationalist control. But it definitely is going to be difficult. One of the other impediments that I thought that could hang us up is that so much of the government debt is held by small, quote-unquote, investors, right? Like, you know, state pension funds and private people that have savings bonds and all this, you know, private debt.
Yeah, so the question is how to make these people whole if you get rid of the, well, I think the first step in that is making the investors aware that when the funny money system does collapse of its own dead weight, and we're almost there right now, that you know what? Your pension is gone anyhow. People are looking at the respective states that the teachers or the police union or whatever the case may be, that they realize that, wait a minute, it's just a figment of somebody's imagination that there is really retirement funds in those accounts. So it's not going to be a real stretch here to convince the American people of, yeah, there's going to be a few problems here. But supplanting one currency with another one is not an easy trick to do, but it can be done. But it's got to be done strategically, and it's got to be done with other nations as well, because they all realize how interdependent we are and interconnected we are, joined at the hip through this world economy and everything else. Trump is addressing some of that now. And my question has always been, as you've heard me say repeatedly, I want to see him wear the hat, make America great again, dump the bankster gangsters. I think that might be the new logo for his hats for his 2020 run, if he does run.
That would be great.
It would be.
The public is ready for that, but that would be great.
Yeah.
Well, in like that, I just had one related question. When Saddam said he was going to sell his oil for the euro, I didn't see a hell of a lot of difference between selling it for the dollar or the euro, because they're all Rothschild banks. Do you see why that didn't seem like a good motivation to invade Iraq?
Well, yeah, but there was other things about Saddam Hussein. I mean, let's not forget that this whole seven countries that have to go down was the wish list of the Israelis.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to that.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, this really wasn't for oil. We didn't get any oil out of it.
It was the oil bourse. It was propping up the U.S. dollar that was destined to fail anyhow. And this just hastened the process. And this made Wall Street extremely nervous. As long as we kept warring against these nations and replacing their leaders and throwing tons of money into the defense budgets and, you know, creating the police state under the fear of, you know, some Iranian is going to come over and kill us all, you know, that served a lot of purposes. But that is starting to fall apart. And Donald Trump, you know, I'm starting to look at this as he's got a strategy here with maintaining this lovey-dovey relationship with Israel, while all the while trying to find a way to get the hell out of the Middle East without somebody shooting a guy down in the streets. You know, this is not an easy job for Trump to do, which I do think he's fully aware of and he's considered before. This is why I question Martin picking the people that he was picking. I mean, it was the neocons. It was people from the Pentagon. And he's putting them in cabinet positions. And I'm going, what the hell is this guy doing? Well, even Uncle Joe Stalin had a message for us that you keep your friends close, but you keep your enemies closer. You gain their confidence to find out what the hell they're up to, and then you could sidestep, because there's the greatest leak standing right next to you, and they're going to reveal something to you. Trump understands the deep state, and he understands what he's up against. He wants to live and walk and talk another day to keep doing his agenda as president of the United States, and I think he's fully aware of it, and he's fully aware of the dangers. Hell, even Vladimir Putin recognized that, and, you know, he had a word for Donald, be careful. You know, there are people that want to waylay you, and there's people that want to see you dead.
And if they can't waylay him, they could waylay his family, they could waylay the American economy, they could put up a suitcase nuke someplace in this country. There's all kinds of things they can do, not just to threaten Donald Trump's life himself.
Yeah, and
you know, you consider all these possibilities too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't sleep in Donald Trump's bed. We don't wear his clothes. We're not seated in that Oval Office, and we try to look at Donald Trump and figure out what he's doing or what he's thinking or what he's planning. I wouldn't want this guy's job for anything on this planet. In some respects, I wished I did. In other respects, you know, you want to live in hell for a while? Be Donald Trump and be president of the United States.
Right, right. He's having to deal with a lot of unseen forces behind the scenes. And it could be that putting those people in his cabinet and his friendship with BB over there is all part of a negotiating process. You know, the main thing is don't put any more U.S. troops in the Mideast. You know, if he does that, then, well, what the hell is he negotiating anyhow?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Is it there? He's given in, you know, the main objective, which is not to participate in interventionist wars.
Well, I think his number one priority right now is economy and how best to do that. He's evidently having some good talks with China. Xi doesn't seem to be too upset. You know, you see the press and how they're talking about, well, you know, China's going to do a $50 billion sanction against the United States. Well, that's all fine reading fodder. But Trump fully understands the economy, what drives America, what made America great, what gave us a standard of living. He realizes the position China is in right now, and they're pretty much laden with debt, and they're getting real creative to try to get out of that. He's watching Vladimir Putin on what he's doing and restoring a lot of stuff that the Russian people wanted to be restored. You know, had that little interruption called communism there that didn't bode too well for the country or its people. And there's a lot of things to consider here, but there are a lot of people that do not want Donald Trump getting too cozy with Russia or too cozy with China, because they have too much at stake with the world's chaos the way it is right now. There's a lot of people making a lot of money off of this chaos. Don't forget.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, John, I appreciate your answer.
Okay, Martin. Well, I appreciate your call. You're a first-time caller. I don't think you've called into the show before.
No, I've called Michael Rivero's show a couple of times.
Okay.
I've called Jamie.
All right. Well,
not you.
All right. Well, thank you for your call.
All right.
I appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Bye-bye. You know, and just to give you an example of what I was talking about, did you see the story? We have it posted on republicbroadcasting.org about Laura Bush. You know, you can't have any of the Bushies. You know, the old man, he's one step away from the grave, and the other, he's got on a banana peel, the other foot. Georgie Bush Jr., he's pretty much kept a low profile. Old Jeb, you know, he's got to stand in a room and provoke people to applaud when he's trying to make a political point that they're just looking at him going, you big doofus, why are you here again? So, Laura Bush, and this was attributed, and I think it was done by the press intentionally, that they credited it with George Bush Sr.'s wife. But it was actually Laura, and they had to correct this. She came out and she said she had no issue with her husband permanently separating hundreds of thousands of families from their loved ones in the Middle East in a war based on lies, but she's outraged by the U.S. government separating children from the illegal immigrant parents caught invading America. But I guess she really does have an issue, because this is what you're seeing worldwide. Oh, these poor people in Africa. Politically, we've seen exactly what's going on. The communists are taking over, killing people, taking stuff that they didn't earn. Socialism, communism, give it a name. But we've seen what has happened in the Middle East. So she comes trotting out and going, oh, well, this is just horrible, the separation of these. And again, you know, the Mexican economy. Why are the Mexicans or Hondurans or... It's just not all drug dealers that are coming over the border. There are people still wanting to come here because they see a better chance of earning the daily bread that they can't do in Guatemala or corrupt Mexico. And you know what? A strong president of the United States talking with Mexico or Guatemala or the Central American countries that go, hey... You know, you want to get your stuff straight down there? You want to stop all the drugs and the corruption and all that stuff? You know, the United States is here. You know, you don't have to be dealing with the clandestine CIA people running guns and drugs and doing all the stuff that has been done. That you want to step up to the plate? You want to do some trading here? You want to create a stable government in your country? You want to create an economy that benefits not only the government, but more importantly, the people? You know, sit down. We can talk. But as long as you have the people throwing around rhetoric the way they have been coming out of the Mexican government, you know, all starting over this silly wall that we're going to pay for it? We don't think so. Well, think about it again, because you know what? I've got you the gotcha clause here in the contract. If we stop doing business with Mexico, the United States companies, the existing companies, or what's left, stops doing business with you people, where do you think you're going to be? Well, that's a wake-up call. But point being here that this balkanization, using the people, these poor people that have been almost bombed into the Stone Age in the Middle East, and spreading these people around the globe. No, they didn't want to come here. The majority of them didn't. They didn't want to go to Germany. They didn't want to go to the Netherlands. They didn't want to go here or there or to France. They would have much rather have stayed. But how many bombs can you run around trying to catch before they hit the ground and blow up and kill you and your husband or your wife, your family or whatever? The perfect excuse. And look how many things are being accomplished. You know, the threats out there. Oh, well, you're under threats. There's people that want to kill you. Yeah, well, we're still stacking the bodies in the Middle East. 4 million and counting. Let's stop this. Let's start negotiating. Let's start talking in an economic tone to people and see how fast they come around.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Thank you.
The temptation was great. Walk by the jar on the secretary's desk full of bubblegum, and what do? Brings a smile to kids of all ages. Let me get this out of my mouth. Come here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I ain't run out of bubblegum yet, but I'm still in the kick butt phase here. Former First Lady Bush spoke out Sunday night about the separation of families on the U.S. border, writing a harsh criticism of the current zero-tolerance immigration policy being enforced under the Trump administration. Bush, whose opinion piece ran in the Washington Post, decries the separation of children from their parents entering the United States illegally as cruel and immoral. It's a rare public admonishment of current administration policy from Bush, who has seldom weighed in on politics since her husband left office. Translation of this? No one gives a hoot about Jeb or George saying anything, so they had Laura do it. It was the 1997 Supreme Court ruling which said illegal immigrant minors could not be held in detention like adults. Criminals are separated from their children in jails across America and the world. She says, I live in a border state. I appreciate the need to enforce and protect our international boundaries, but the zero-tolerance policy is cruel, it's immoral, and it breaks my heart. Well, killing all those people in Iraq when Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11 was cruel, immoral, and violated international boundaries. Incidentally, when her husband was still in office back in 01, Laura Bush said his war on terrorism was a fight to advance feminism in the Middle East, or as she put it, a fight for the rights and dignity of women. Yeah, thanks, Laura. You brainiac, you. She went on to say our government should not be in the business of warehousing children in converted box stores or making plans to place them in tent cities in the desert outside of El Paso. These images are eerily reminiscent of the Japanese-American internment camps of World War II, now considered to have been one of the most shameful episodes in U.S. history. Really, Laura, you should get out more often. There's been many embarrassments by your own husband's hand, by the way, and your father-in-law, Daddy Bush. This is amazing. Americans pride ourselves in being a moral nation. Really? Let me see. We've killed 60 million babies since 1973. Okay, I could go on, but at any rate. She said, we pride ourselves on believing that people should be seen for the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Plagiarist. We pride ourselves on acceptance. If we are truly that country, then it's our obligation to reunite these detained children with their parents and stop separating parents and children in the first place. Well, wait a minute here, Laura. And again, you should get out more often. The kids that are coming across the borders, their families are saying, go, run for the border. No, it's not a Taco Bell ad. Run for the border. If you get over there, there are lawyers down there that are schooling these kids on what to say once they reach the American border so they can come in without their parents. Laura, notice I said without their parents. And of course, we got illegals that have anchor babies in this country. Well, we can't separate those, can we? Now, we should have had the wall and immigration in the first place and we wouldn't be dealing with this. But of course, I think this all goes over Laura's head. Could you imagine the conversations at the Bush table at night? Man. I want to thank you all for being here today. Back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statmiller, saying thank you for being here today. And please, folks, support the network. We've got a long ways to go before we sleep, or at least can afford to take a short nap. We'll see you tomorrow.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.